All right, on this episode of Bouts Talking Bouts, very excited to be speaking with an individual who's set to compete at BKFC Prospect Series 1, which goes down August the 24th, and a very intriguing fight set to go down as Justin Watson takes on D'Amico Laban. And great having D'Amico on the show for the first time. How's your day going so far, man?
Hey, man, can't complain, man. I'm having a great day. Awesome day. What about yourself?
Yeah, similar spot, definitely. Can't complain, but I'm curious to get a bit of backgrounding here because I was seeing that you made the pro glove boxing debut, from what I could tell, February in the Dominican Republic there. Like, I guess I'm curious to, I guess, get your thoughts on that initial experience there, because it seemed like you had a big debut effort there and everything, and I thought it would make sense to talk about it as you're kind of readying to, you know, debut on the BKFC circuit. So yeah, just curious to get some insights on that.
I don't know if you know, like, my base is traditional glove boxing. You know, this isn't, even though this is boxing, you know, this is boxing with a twist, you know, but my base, you know, traditional boxing. I'm going to still be competing, hopefully, in that as I do my as I go on about my bare knuckle career as well. But so I made my debut over there. It was a great experience, you know, because it was something that I haven't, you know, seen in a while, you know, or matter of fact, experienced at all, you know, because, you know, in the amateurs, you know, the gloves are, you know, more padded, you know, we got the headgear and stuff like that. And it was just a different environment, you know. I'm in the area, I'm out of the country, you know. It was a great experience, but what I took from that was I wasn't even nervous. Like I never really traveled too far to fight. I really haven't traveled and been to different areas like outside of Florida to compete. So me just traveling to a whole other country, it showed me that I feel like I'd be ready. Like, because it was a decent crowd, you know. It wasn't inside of an arena, but it was a packed place, like shoulder to shoulder back. So, you know, I did pretty good. I was calm out there, so I think from that experience from out there, I bring it to the BKFC as well. You know, it'd just be just as serious, but I'd be able to control my emotions as even with a bigger crowd. If you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure. I guess timeline wise, like, when did this offer kind of come on your radar? Because, like, we're talking about, it seemed like the Queensbury Rules fight was like a bit earlier in the year. So, like, when did this BKFC opportunity initially get on the radar, I guess?
I knew about this fight a month ago. So I've been preparing. My coach, he put it on the table for me, and I don't know if you who I train with. I train with former world champion Glenn Johnson. So he brought it on the table for me, and I go with whatever he tells me. Like, I put all my faith in him because he's been where I want to go. So he told me, you know, it's on the table. It's an option. And I asked him, hey, do you feel like I could do it? He said, yeah. So that was all. That was enough. That was enough confidence for me to have belief in myself that I could do it.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a very noteworthy name for sure. And I guess I'm curious, because you talk about wanting to, like, kind of ascend to similar levels that he did. Like, what does that represent to you? Like, what are your aspirations? Like, is it like a specific goal in as far as, I'd like to win like a title within gloved boxing, I'd like to eventually win a BKFC title? Like, what does that, I guess, you know, represent to you as far as, like, achieving similar successes to Glenn?
Oh man, he achieved so much, you know. But honestly, I'm not even shooting for that. I'm shooting past that. Like, I got aspirations on, you know, being one of those guys, you know, having that dream career, you know, eventually, moving to another weight, winning multiple titles in different weight classes. Like, I got big dreams, man. And my coach, but even just getting the opportunity to fight, not even becoming a champ, even just to get an opportunity to fight for the belt, that's just something great in itself. But that won't be enough to satisfy me. Like, I always tell my family, like, I know I got enough skill to be able to fight for a belt, you know. I can get there, but I want to win the belt and I want to defend it. You know, the money, you know, we're prize fighters, you know, we say money, but I think for myself, I'm caught up in the legacy aspect as well. Like, I want people to actually look at me as a great fighter other than someone who just made money and, you know, he made the right moves, fought the right people at the right time, and he skated by. I want people to, you know, recognize me as one of the greatest fighters there in their lifetimes or any era.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess just as like part of, you know, telling that broader story, because obviously big things coming up here with this prospect series fight, and we touched on your gloved boxing effort where you got to go out of the country. Like, what's kind of the, I guess, combative background that kind of underpinned things before that? Like, what was the, I guess, foundation in combat sports? Like, it seemed like you alluded to like a bit of an amateur background, but I guess curious to get you to expound upon that a bit more.
Okay, yeah, definitely. I started competing in combat sports when I was 14. I actually won the box. I got into boxing like a few years, some years later. Like, I don't have a big amateur boxing background. I'm not gonna say I got rushed, because but I got put in the fire pretty fast, and you know, you gotta adapt when you get put in the fire, you know. So but as far as my amateur background, yeah, I competed in Taekwondo. I actually went to nationals. Like, I was super good at that. Like, I was playing football. Like, I'm a lifelong athlete. Like, I've been playing football since I was 6 years old. But I was playing, and I got interested in fighting. Like, I love fighting. I grew up around it. I always did it, so I got interested in boxing. And there is boxing not big where I'm from. I'm from down south Miami, and it's more like, it's like a lot of karate and taekwondo gyms down there. So I end up doing that because they had a boxing sign in the front. But it was that, so I was like, you know what, whatever. I took a break from football and did that. And the following year, I fought in the nationals. I came in third. Like, the champion beat me. He was some guy from Puerto Rico, but I felt like they cheated me anyways. But so I did that, and then I ended up, you know, stopped doing it because I seen that I looked into a career for taekwondo, and it didn't seem like something that I wanted to do. Like, I felt like I should just stick with football. So I stopped, and then when football didn't go my way either, really, I started to box, and my father introduced me to Glenn, and because I was at another gym beforehand, so I got introduced to Glenn, and you know, he got to working with me, and it was kind of hard to get me on shows, and you know, boxing is expensive, so you know, it was kind of hard for me to get me fights. So what we did, I definitely got a lot of work from a quality of people, and they didn't go easy on me, so that definitely helped me shape me into the fighter I am today. Like, my very first sparring partner, because I was older, I started boxing like at 16, 17, so my sparring partner was older. You know, it's not a lot of new people that old box starting to box. So he was a Golden Glove champion. His name, Jesus Ablan. He was a regional champion, and he just used to light me up in sparring. So that all there was just stuff like that, which just made me want to get better and go harder instead of just quitting and giving up. You know, that shaped me as a fighter even more so than amateur events and stuff like that.
Yeah, I appreciate you filling in the picture a bit more, because I was doing some backgrounding on you, and from what I could tell, it seemed like you got in some good work at like the Muhammad Ali Boxing Center at Tropical Park, as well as like the Mayweather Boxing Fitness space. And yeah, it seemed like there were some individuals you were shouting out there, like Malik Lewis and Money Powell, at least from what I could glean recently. So yeah, I appreciate you filling in the picture a bit more there.
Yeah. Malik Lewis is my that's one of my stable mates. That's one of the guys who I started off, you know, he started off working with me. He actually, I poke fun of him every time we get a new guy. I say he gonna break your ribs, because when I started, he Malik worked with me. But like I say, when you're gonna get work, but you gonna have to step up to the plate. So I end up breaking my ribs just sparring. I got my rib broken, fractured, I'll say. And on that picture that you seen, my rib was fractured. We used to go to Fifth Street every weekend to get some work out there, you know, for sparring. And you know, I was trying to be so tough and stuff like that. Like, oh, I'm never gonna turn down sparring. Never gonna say no. And my whole time, I didn't even know, but I didn't know my ribs broken. To in my defense, but it was messed up and it did hurt. So I'm like, man. I'm gonna get some good work in, man. I'm never gonna say no. I'm gonna show them that I'm tough, and then my ribs broke, man. Somebody tapped right there, man. They put me down, man. But like I say, it was fractured, and I didn't know. But it came from me sparring with Malik. You know, he just, you know, being so technical and on point. Like, she didn't try to hurt me, but when you just, it's levels to it. They say it's levels to it for a reason. So just by him being so more experienced than me, you know, it's that stuff does happen. But yeah, he's a very quality fighter who helped me grow into a fighter I am. A mentor, as you could say.
And I'm curious, because, like, obviously great mentorship to be had in the gloved boxing realm. I'm curious, I imagine there's, like, quite a bit of, you know, transferable elements to that, but is there almost like a unique fight IQ one has to develop with bare knuckle? And I guess, kind of in saying that, like, is that a lot of, like, just you trying to, like, make inferences from what other fighters are doing and kind of, like, study them and curate that into your training camp? Is the camp almost similar to, like, what you've largely done with gloved boxing? Like, curious to get some insights in that.
You're asking me, like, I feel like you're asking me two questions. So you're asking me, is there anybody that I look to, like, for an example? And are you asking me, like, how's my training camp? Is it still a normal training camp compared to traditional boxing, right?
Yeah, I suppose getting the insights on the first part, as you alluded to, like, just if there's, like, someone in, like, a specific bare knuckle capacity that you look to for mentorship, and I guess if the general preparations are different.
Oh, definitely. I'm a traditional boxer, so I look at guys, you know, who I know it's a lot of guys in there, and who come from traditional boxing. I say a particular guy because I know him, you know. I've seen him through social media, and I actually seen him for work in person. Like, his name, you ever heard of Howard Davis? I think he's their 45 contender, right? He's number two, right? Ranked number two.
Yeah, he's one of the top ranked featherweights. Yeah.
Yeah, him. So I talk to him from time to time on social media, so that's just one guy. I know he comes from a boxing background, and I watch him. And it's other guys, too. Like, who's the guy he just fought? I think Mike Richmond, right? His name, he just fought, right? But he got beat.
Yeah, he fought Dave Mundell for the title.
Yeah, he was a guy who interests me because he looked like he had a boxing background. Like, I look at more boxers than more of the wild swinging wrestlers, like, I mean, MMA fighters, because you can tell when who's who and who's what. Like, sometimes you can't, you know, because I see some guys who did MMA, you know, who look like they got hands, but you can really tell it's a big difference. So somebody, guys from down here, but down Howard Davis is one. The other guy, Richmond had knocked him down, but he ended up coming back. What's his name?
Lorenzo Hunt.
Lorenzo Hunt, him right there. I know their names. I'm just messing up on the spot right now. But Lorenzo Hunt, him right there. I could say those three people. Those, I watched them. Like, I kind of watched their film and seen how it matched up with what I do or what I think would work inside of the bare knuckle games. those three fellas right there.
And it's interesting you bring that up, because I was going to kind of interject that into the conversation too, just in talking about how you can tell the MMA guys coming into bare knuckle versus like people coming at it from like that gloved boxing kind of background, just with your opponent also readying to make his bare knuckle debut like you are, but he has the 8 MMA fights across amateur and pro. And as much as it's like a new sport altogether, like from a layman perspective, it almost would seem like this is like a classic, like, you know, infighting versus fighting at range kind of bout, where like maybe his focus is getting in close and trying to work that active clinch and pressure as much as he can, whereas maybe your approach would be more to kind of work at range, just considering both of your backgrounds. Like, in a simplistic way, is that kind of what this fight boils down to almost, you think?
Yeah, so yeah, you can say that, but one thing I want to interject about myself is MMA was my first love. I loved MMA first before I loved boxing. So, you know, I did do some training in MMA. So I would think a guy would think one way about me, like I can do the same striking as an MMA fighter, or even better. That's how I feel about myself. Like I'm versatile. Like if he wanted to get in close, I could have did that. If he wanted to keep it far, I could do that. Like, I feel like I'm a superior striker, not a puncher, like a striker. I can kick as well. Remind you, I told you I went to nationals. So, and when to be doing Taekwondo, that taught me, you know, how to strategize with fighting, because even though people I think was kicking it like karate, man, I seen more people get knocked out than that. Than in boxing. And I was a kid, I'm going inside the hotel or whatever they're having, and I'm just seeing guys get knocked out back to back. And these are guys just kicking, and it was crazy. So, you know, I feel like my striking is superior. So whatever anybody try to, you know, you whatever game, they, whatever style they try to do, you know, I can nullify all of that and still do what I got to do. I can win closer or from a distance. In a short way of saying it.
And I guess I'm curious, because you kind of gave the insights on the bare knuckle opportunity coming your way, like how all of that came about. But like, when did the sport of bare knuckle boxing initially just even get on your radar, or even just inspire you from like a viewership perspective? Like, because I imagine like before that opportunity came your way, or maybe I'm wrong in imagining that, maybe it's a bit of a presumption, but I would think that you would have had like a bit of exposure to the sport before that offer kind of came your way. So I guess curious to get your insights on like that first, you know, experience watching bare knuckle. And yeah,
most definitely. I probably got more knowledge and more experience than the 80% of the guys fighting. Like I grew up around that. Like the bare knuckle fights they used to have inside Bryan area. Have you heard about that, right? When they first started.
Oh, yeah.
Doing the backyard fights, I'm sorry. So those, the backyard fights, I used to go, I was a kid going there. Like, I was like, you know, 7 years old, 6 years old, I was going to those fights, you know, with my family. So I grew up around this, like, literally the sport of bare knuckle boxing. I grew up around it and going to see fights. So this might be the new to a lot of people, but it wasn't new to me. Like, it's crazy. You know, I guess it was meant to be for me to have this fight, because I was telling one of my family members, he's an MMA fighter as well. But I told him, like, the week before I got the fight opportunity, I said, hey, because, you know, eventually in my career, I want to have a bare-knuckle fight, whether it's, you know, I prefer it down the end, you know, just to close out my career, but I do want to have one. So, you know, it's crazy that ended up being my next fight. But, hey, my dreams, I'm still big of a dream happening, you know. I always wanted to do it regardless.
Yeah, I mean, like you're saying, there's a certain like synergy to going from watching those cards to now be readying to fight in bare knuckle in Miami, no less. And it seems like the sport has such a level of like focus on it now, and like a certain production value behind it too, and stuff like that. And I feel like just you being like a, you know, Florida native would really lend itself well to this kind of framework, especially just being that it's like a, you know, prospect series kind of thing. And, like, the whole aim is to really just impress with your performance in the hopes of kind of, you know, I guess landing that contract and just making a splash in general. So I would think kind of having that, you know, partisan support would be like a huge sort of facet of this fight too, just serving long-term goals, I guess.
Definitely. I like what BKFC doing, and I'm definitely grateful. You know, I'm definitely grateful that they're giving me this opportunity. I definitely wanna. I can see myself doing future business with them. Like, and I think they. I don't think they're gonna love my performance because I'm putting all the work right now. Cause I've been telling people. I said I just don't want to win. Like, winning's that's on my mind, but I just don't. I want to have a dominant performance. I want the fans or all watchers to really enjoy and really enjoy the fight. I just don't want it to be, you know, just a smooth fest. You know, I'm doing everything just to win and not really trying to, you know, not trying to put on a show. That's what I want. I want when they watch me fight, I want them to be like, man, that guy's gonna be something. He's gonna be something special. He's gonna be a champion. I want them to say that about me. So, you know, I definitely look like how they're doing it. The new series, the new prospect series. I love that they're doing that and that they give me an opportunity, you know, to show what I got. And I'm definitely not gonna disappoint. They go definitely they go love everything about it. Trust me.
I mean, I love how you're talking about just the kind of impact you want to make, but I mean, I guess I'm kind of presuming you're a fighter that, you know, does a lot of visualization. Like, what in your mind does, like, that represent? Like, what are you looking to, I guess, do in this performance to really, like, showcase in that kind of regard? Do you have, like, a certain idea of when you see this fight or how you see this fight kind of ending?
No, I don't have no idea how it might end, but I know I can say if he's not on his A game like me, I know how it's gonna end. It's gonna end in destruction, like a devastating knockout, because I'm preparing my body to perform at peak performance. So, you know, if you can't match that, you know, if you don't belong, you know, they say you gotta get him out of there. They don't belong. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, it's up to my opponent. You know, he come ready. You know, because I'm definitely training hard to definitely go the hard as I can, you know. But I don't know how it's gonna end, but I know I'm definitely gonna get the job done and put on a stellar standout performance, you know. I want a performance of the night. I don't want a fighter tonight. I want that performance of the night, knockout of the night, you know. I want my skills to be highlighted and really show what I can really bring to the table as a fighter.
I mean, definitely a great platform to do so, and definitely excited for this Justin Watson fight and everything. But like I was kind of saying earlier, want to be mindful of your time and everything, D'Amico. So in saying that, is there maybe like a final parting thought? Yeah, for sure. I appreciate that. But just wondering, I guess, if there's like a final parting thought you'd like to add as we're kind of wrapping up though, man.
Yeah, most definitely. And I appreciate you for letting me come on your platform as well. And, you know, you taking your time out of your busy schedule to even be interested in talking to me. I was just telling this other interview I was just on. I was telling, like, you know, guys like you, I appreciate it a lot because I'm gonna go far with this. I'm telling you, I'm gonna go far with this. And the guys, you know, taking their time out, you know, to get to know me and let me tell my story, whatever like that, trying to, you know, want to figure me out. I appreciate that, you know. So when I'm with a belt, don't be surprised, you know, I'm coming back to you. And I got a belt in my hand, and you know, everything's on the up and up, man. Because it's definitely gonna get down. I'm putting in all the work, all the time, everything. I'm gonna have a big career.
Yeah, it definitely seems like there's a lot of great times to come for sure, man. And the next chapter of that story unfurling on August the 24th with this BKFC prospect series kickoff. So yeah, a lot of cool stuff in the works, man. And I mean, I appreciate you coming on for sure. And I guess just in saying all of that, just really looking forward to peeping this fight when it goes down. But until then, you just have a good rest of your day, man. Thank you.
Same you, definitely, man. Definitely tune in, man. I'm definitely gonna put on the show. All right, bro. Appreciate you. Thank you.